We read God's Word together tonight in Psalm 57, and then after that in Ephesians chapter 3. Psalm 57 is a psalm of David when he fled from Saul in the cave. The center of the psalm is verses 5 and repeated in verse 11, where you have the truth of the first petition, "Hallowed be thy name." So David in this psalm is teaching us, the Holy Spirit in the psalm is teaching us how to pray the first petition. Look at verse 5. "Be thou exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let thy glory be above all the earth." Now in Psalm 57, David is in trouble. And David is bringing many petitions, many pleas to God. Yet he is centering it all in the confidence of God's hallowing his name. Psalm 57, "Be merciful unto me, O God, be merciful unto me. For my soul trusteth in thee, yea, in the shadow of thy wings will I make my refuge until these calamities be overpast. I will cry unto God Most High, unto God that performeth all things for me. He shall send from heaven and save me from the reproach of him that would swallow me up, Selah. God shall send forth his mercy and his truth. My soul is among lions, and I lie even among them that are set on fire, even the souls of men whose teeth are spears and arrows, and their tongue a sharp sword. Be thou exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let thy glory be above all the earth. They have prepared a net for my steps. My soul is bowed down. They have digged a pit before me, and through the midst whereof they are fallen themselves, Selah. My heart is fixed, O God, my heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise. Awake up, my glory. Awake, psaltery and harp. I myself will awake early. I will praise thee, O Lord, among the people. I will sing unto thee among the nations, for thy mercy is great unto the heavens, and thy truth unto the clouds. Be thou exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let thy glory be above all the earth." Now we read another prayer on "Hallowed be thy name," and that's in the epistle to the Ephesians chapter 3, and we'll start to read at verse 12. And again, the Apostle Paul, in the context of the church, God's work in the church, will offer a prayer centering in "Hallowed be thy name." Starting to read at verse 12, the reference "in whom" is Christ. In verse 11, the purpose that God has, his eternal purposes, are all in Christ Jesus our Lord. Verse 12 of Ephesians 3, "in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by faith of him." So there we have boldness, we have confidence, we have access, we pray in the name of Jesus Christ, in him, in whom, Christ, we have boldness and access with confidence by faith of him. "Wherefore I desire that ye faint not at my tribulations for you, which is your glory." And now begins the prayer. "For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. now unto Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto Him be glory in the Church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Now let's read together from the Heidelberg Catechism on the first petition of the Lord's Prayer, page 26. Question 122 of the Heidelberg Catechism, page 26 in the back of the Psalter. The first petition, Hallowed be thy name. What is the first petition? Hallowed be thy name. That is, grant us first rightly to know thee, to sanctify, glorify, and praise thee in all thy works, in which thy power, wisdom, goodness, justice, mercy, and truth are clearly displayed. And further also, that we may so order and direct our whole lives, our thoughts, words, and actions, that thy name may never be blasphemed, but rather honored and praised on our account. We have entered into the school of prayer, and Jesus has taught us that when we kneel before God, we must come to Him with childlike confidence and reverence. We must come into His presence with confidence, as we read in verse 12, in whom, in Christ, we have boldness and access with confidence. We have confidence because He is our Father, our Father. When we were little boys, and we were busily engaged in our projects of building our treehouse, or building our boat, or our airplane, and we needed tools and wood, then we would say to our buddies, go ask your dad for the tool that we needed. And he'd say, no, I'm not going to ask. And we'd say, well, we're not going to do it. He's your dad. You go ask him. He'll give it to you. We know that a son has a right to call upon his father for what belongs to the father. Someone who's not a son doesn't have that right. We know that we have been adopted as sons and daughters, and we have the right to call upon our Father in heaven in confidence that He will give to us out of His treasures that which we need for today. We pray, our Father, who art in heaven, we pray with confidence and deepest respect and reverence, with a sense of His majesty and awe, His glory and greatness. We do not come thoughtlessly before Him. We do not come simply for the ears of other people. We do not come with mere rote petitions. We do not come with trendy words, but we come with the sincerity of our hearts. But now, what is the first thing that rises to the top of your needs? What is our deepest need? How would we express our deepest want? What is it exactly that we would ask of God primarily in our prayers and in every prayer? Perhaps we would answer, I would like to ask Him for just a peek into the future. Just show me how this will turn out. That would be sufficient. If only tonight he could show me how it will transpire. Perhaps tonight we would say, I feel that my deepest need is that God would, in mercy, lift this burden, for I cannot bear it anymore. I am weary, and I cannot walk with this anymore. I would ask Him if He would but change this. Perhaps our deepest need we would express this way tonight, that while God has brought to us repentance, and we are so thankful for that, yet there are those consequences of the sins that we bear, and we would ask if it would be possible that some of those consequences could be lifted. Perhaps it's a care for our family, or for our child, or for their repentance, or for our own selves and our souls and our depression. What is our deepest need? Jesus teaches us to say, Father, my deepest need, first thing in my prayer, in my heart is, Father, glorify Thy name. Hallowed be Thy name in me. Whether it be by an answer to all of those others' petitions, or whether it be that the answer is, no, my child, you must continue in that way for a while, whether it be by my life or by my death, Father, what I want, what is good for me, is that Thou would glorify Thyself in and through me, that Thy holy name would be hallowed. Do we understand? This is the heart of all prayer. This is the first thing. We use that as our petition, as our theme rather. First thing first. The first thing first. Let's note what it is, what it will produce in us, and finally, how it will be seen in our lives. If we're going to grasp the awesome truth that is being taught us by Jesus in the first petition, hallowed be Thy name, and if we are to understand the profound implications and the impact upon all of our life, then let's for just a few moments step back and look at the whole Lord's Prayer, that we might at last see the place that this petition, hallowed be Thy name, has in the Lord's Prayer and in our prayer life. Now we realize that no prayer has so shaped and molded our prayers as the Lord's Prayer. It's a very simple prayer. We all know that prayer, and yet that prayer is deep and rich and beautiful. And so we've been through, we see that the prayer begins with the address, Our Father who art in heaven. And there Jesus is teaching us how we are to approach God. We are to approach God in that faith that we are the adopted children, sons and daughters of God, and therefore we may come with boldness. We may come with full assurance that He will receive us for Jesus' sake. Our Father who art in heaven, we are to come with that reverence of God. So, what we've learned in those words, Our Father who art in heaven, are captured in these two familiar phrases that I take from our Psalter. Our Father, in full assurance of Thy grace to Thee, my prayers ascend. Who art in heaven, with fear and reverence at His feet, God's holy ones in council meet. Yea, more than all about the throne must He be feared, and He alone. But now, having taught us the address, we know that Jesus goes on to list six petitions, if we count them, six of them. And when you think of those six petitions that follow, they are easily divided into two groups. The first three petitions, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, 1, 2, and 3, are all about God. God's name, hallowed be thy name, God's kingdom, thy kingdom come, God's will, thy will be done. We're praying for God to hallow his name, to rule in us so that his kingdom comes, and that his sovereign will be done over us and by us. We're asking God, cause thy name to be hallowed, thy kingdom to come, and thy will to be done. That's what we want in this world. And then the next three petitions are also all together in that they center in ourselves and in our needs. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And there's also order there. If we are to be his children on this earth, we need daily bread to live. We need that necessity. And then the necessity that we have, if we are to live, is the forgiveness of our sins. We can't live with that load on our shoulders. We need to know forgiveness. And then if we are to walk as his child, forgiven in a holy way of life, we need to be delivered from evil and from temptation. So that's the second group. The first group calls attention to God, his name, kingdom, and will. The second to our needs, our daily bread, the pardon of sins, and deliverance from temptations and evil. And those two groups go together this way. Lord, my desire is that my life praise thee, that thy kingdom and rule be over me, that I do thy will, and if that's to happen, if those three things are to happen, then I need to be fed in this world, I need to be assured of the forgiveness of my sins, and I need strength to live a holy life. The second three, we ask for those three of us in order that we might do the first three. Now, there's more involved than that. There's something very unique. It's not just that the second three concerning ourselves, we pray so that we can do the first three, but that first petition is not really one among three. But the first petition really says everything. John Calvin, in his Institutes in the Christian Religion, when he talks about the Lord's Prayer, and when he is going to explain the second petition, thy kingdom come, his very first words to explain thy kingdom come are, there is nothing really new here. And he's right. He's referring back to the first petition. The first petition really is our petition. Lord, hallow thy name. And if thy name is to be hallowed, then thy kingdom needs to come. And if thy name is to be hallowed, then thy will must be done. And then I need to have food and pardon and deliverance. I need all of these things in order that this one thing, this first thing, this is the first and principal thing. Not really three and three, it's really one. And then the other five are prayed so that we can do the one. We're saying nothing is more desirous of us. There's no better way for us to express what we want. What we want is this. Lord, this is why we're praying. We want thy name. We want thy name to be hallowed by us. That's what we want. And for that, we want the kingdom, the rule of grace to be in our hearts. And we want to do thy will. And we need food for life, and we need the assurance of forgiveness, and we need strength to live a holy life. But we need all of these things only because the first thing, the principal thing, is cause thy name to be revered and hallowed. Hallowed be thy name. That's the first thing. That's what Jesus is teaching us. That's our need. When he says, hallowed be thy name, he's not making a declaration. We're not making a declaration at that time. That's true. God's name is hallowed. It is lifted up and always will be lifted up above all things. But this is a petition. We're saying the concern that is closest in my heart and the concern that is going to shape all of the petitions that I bring is that thy name be hallowed. To hallow is to sanctify. It is to set it apart as worthy. Lord, I need thee and thy name to be set apart in my heart and in my life as infinitely great and glorious and beautiful. That's what I need. I need to know that thou art God and my God and glorious. That's what I need to know. If I know that, then all I can see my way to the rest. Then whether my way be a way of pain, whether that future is blacked out to me, whether that burden tonight seems that I can't bear it another moment, whether the very mountains are shaking under our feet, the earth is shaking, if I know thy glory, if thou art lifted up, if thou art God to me, if I know that thou art God and glorious, then no matter how thou dost call me on life's pathway, whether that is unknown, whether that is unbearable, whether I think this is wrong, this is all wrong, I can do that. I can live if thy name, if thy glory is lifted up high over me. We're praying, Lord, may nothing have supreme affection and desire in my heart but thee. May the first impulse of my heart always be, thou art my God, O God of grace, and earnestly I seek thy face. My heart cries out for thee. Then I can see. Then I can pray. Two implications from that. The first is that this is what drives God, His glory. This is the one thing that God is jealous about. He's jealous, He's interested in, and that's not bad because He is glorious. He is interested in His glory. Isaiah 42 verse 8, I am the Lord, that is my name, Jehovah, and my glory will I not give to another, neither my praise to graven images. God is not an idolater. God does not put His affection, God does not put His reliance upon anything outside of Himself. But God praises Himself. God has a counsel. By His counsel, He has created the world. By His counsel, He has willed to glorify His Son, to gather the church, to save sinners by grace. But His counsel is driven by one thing, His glory. God has one reason for all things, to show forth the glory of His name in Jesus Christ. His supreme passion is His own honor. Romans 11, verse 36, for of Him, that is, He's the source, and through Him, He's the power, and for Him, He's the goal, are all things. All things are from, of, and through God, to whom be glory forever and ever. That's good. That's right. That's the pillar of the universe. God and God alone. And the second implication is that this is the purpose for our existence. This is good. This is satisfying. This is what we were made for and redeemed for. We read in Ephesians 1:1-11, a beautiful passage of Holy Scripture, that God has done all things to save us to the praise of the glory of His grace. The purpose of our life is ultimately to show forth the praises of Him who hath called us out of darkness, says the Scripture, 1 Peter 2, verse 9, into His marvelous light. If we do not live for the hallowing of God, if that principle is not in us, then Jesus would say, we are trees without any fruit, worthy to be cut down. If we are not pursuing the ultimately God's glory in our life, we are backsliding. We are idolaters. We are turning from the only good God. If this flame of God's glory, of God Himself, is not burning bright in us, then we are of little use to the glory of God in this world. This is Christianity 101. Jesus said, this is what you must want. This is what you must ask for. This is what I am as the Son of God and the Redeemer. This is what I am all about. Hallowed be Thy name. I have come to hallow the name of God in redeeming you, to show forth the praises of His grace. And this is what you must be. And when this is first in our life, we'll have strength for everything else. We will have endurance. We will have wisdom. We will have joy. We will be satisfied. This satisfies us. The glory of God. This comforts us that God, in all things, though these things at times tear our souls, yet God will glorify Himself in and through us. If we don't get this straight, we will always go wrong. If we don't put God first in His glory, our life will become a mess. Because we're living for self and not His glory. If we don't learn, though it be in a beginning, to pray in earnestly, profoundly, beautifully, hallowed be Thy name. If that's not in us, then we are living the life of a pagan. Redeemed in the blood of Christ, we pray, hallowed be Thy name. Not my name, but God's name. Father, I have many needs, we pray. I bring them all to Thee, every one of them. But what I want is Thy name to be glorified. If, to glorify Thy name, none of these things are given to me, have Thine own way, Father, but that's what we desire. Jesus says that the Christian on his knees, engaged with God, is God-centered. And then that's going to work in us. The Catechism says it's going to work in us, first of all, a thirst to know God. Grant us first rightly to know Thee. Oh, beloved, we need, think with me now, We need to be warned tonight that we don't spend too much time apologizing for theology. Apologizing for wanting to know truth and doctrine. We must not apologize for that. Yes, we know the danger of all being all head and no heart. That's so very true. We don't want that. We don't want it just cognitive. We want it experiential knowledge of God. But let us not apologize that we want to know. You and I should want to know Him. How can we hallow Him? How can we put our trust in Him? How can we glorify Him? How can we have strength to confess His great and glorious name? How can I not be afraid if I do not know the truth about Him? Knowing the true God, the Holy Sovereign Triune, Infinite God. That's my business on life, in life. Jesus said, John 17, verse 3, "And this is eternal life. They shall know Thee, the true God." David writes, "As the deer panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after Thee, O God." Psalm 43, he says, "I will go up to the altar of God, unto God my exceeding joy. Yea, upon the harp will I praise Thee, O God, my God." Now this knowledge does not mean that we're all intellectual, so to speak. Some of the knowledge of God, some of the people of God who know God, not about Him, but know Him personally through their dealings with Him. Some of the people of God who have known Him the closest and most intimate have not been educated people. But if we have education or if we don't, we strive. We strive always to know God. And this truth, hallowed be Thy name, grant me to rightly know Thee. This is revolutionary in the church world today. You mean the church is about knowing God? I thought it was all about me. I thought it was all about how I might feel good, about how God can fit into my life, how God can be of advantage to me. You mean the Christian faith is all about being God-centered and knowing God, and He's the important one? Yes. Yes, that's exactly what the Christian faith, that's exactly what the church is all about. And this is what we want. We want to grow in grace. Now God has given us the means of grace that we might know God. We may say that the means of grace are the preaching, the sacraments, and then those personal means, the Bible reading and prayer. These are all means whereby God's grace comes to us and makes us strong. We could call those means of grace means to know God. Means to hallow God. What are the means? How do I get to know more of Him so that I may glorify Him more? Through the preaching of the gospel, said Jesus. He has just given that into His church. Through the sacraments, baptism and the Lord's Supper, we come to hallow Him more in our lives through those sacraments, through partaking of the Lord's Supper, through confessing our faith. These are means whereby God grows in us, in His all His glory grows in us. Through our Bible reading, our devotions, and our prayers. These are the means whereby we hallow God's name. But then it will work in us not only to know God, but it will work in us to praise God. When the glory of God shines upon our hearts, the wonder of His grace, then we want to know Him and praise Him. Let's ask ourselves tonight the question, do you love to praise God? Do you like to do that? To ascribe all might to God in song? Does it thrill you? Does it at times lift up your heart to extol Him? To thank Him in your prayers for His faithfulness? Do you delight yourself in His works? The Catechism reminds us of all of His works, also those in creation. On a day like today, in the beauties of this time of year, do you take a walk at any time of the year and do you stop? And do you praise God for His work in the creation, for His work in salvation? Do you praise Him that He has taken care of you? Do you praise Him in this fact that tonight, no matter what your situation may be, your difficulties, you look back, just look back spiritually, and you can never point to one day that God was not faithful to you in the past, that He forsook you. We forsook Him. He did not forsake us. Doesn't that just awe you, humble you, make you want to praise God? And there's nothing that is going to drive the devil from us as praise to God. Oh, He hates that. As I've said before to the children, when a heart is praising God sincerely, that hurts His ears. He can't take it. Praise for God, nothing will remove that dark cloud hanging over our souls, that hopelessness that we feel, that darkness that we feel in our souls. Nothing will so remove that as when our souls are lifted to think upon God and His glory and His power and His promises and to praise Him. The word praise comes in the Bible from the word wait. To praise is to feel the weight. When the weight of it has fallen upon your heart, the weight of God, the weight of His worth. When that weight of God falls upon our hearts, especially in prayer, we know that there's nothing compared to God. We can take the whole universe. We can put it in that scale. You put the whole universe, every last atom in that of the universe in that scale, and you put God on the other hand, and the universe is lighter than a feather compared to God. We take all of His promises and we roll them over our souls. We taste them, His infinite love, His redemption in Christ. Then sings our souls. We lift up our voice, our hearts in praise to God. Beloved, let us praise Him. We can praise God in many, many different ways. We can sing. We can talk of Him. We can talk of Him to others who are down. We can pray to Him. We can trust Him. Oh, that praises God. When we trust Him, when others are saying, there's no hope for you in God. When we learn His Word, when we memorize our catechism, we are praising God. Don't we want to praise Him? And he who praises and she who praises God is happy. Yes. He who boasts and praises in anything else will not be happy. It is a hollow ring. but glory ye in His holy name. This is joy. He is everything that is good and lovely. He is everything that is pleasant and soothing. He is almighty strength and power. He is God alone. Come before His presence. Call upon His name. The tear of loss is soothed. In the face, when we see the face of His glory, the sigh of our hearts is turned to singing. The brokenness that we are experiencing is healed. The emptiness is filled. We come before His presence. It is He that is God. He hath made us. We come into His courts with singing and before His presence with thanksgiving. Praise! You must not think that praise is cotton candy of the Christian life. We must not think that praise of God is a little sugar we spread over our life from time to time. We need to think of praising God as the meat and potatoes of the Christian life. It is praise of God that sets us straight after being knocked sideways. It is praise of God that will heal an anxious heart, a heart that's broken with anxiety. Don't drink more. Don't worry more. Don't work more for the things of this life to find your joy. Know God and praise God. Why art thou cast down, O my soul, and why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise Him for the health of my countenance and my God. And then finally, beloved, this petition, hallowed be thy name, creates in us to know God, to praise God, and it creates in us a peaceful submission to God. Hallowed be thy name. Peaceful submission is not, well, I'm defeated, just run over me, I give up. Peaceful submission is not acid tears of bitterness. We peacefully submit to our God. We have come to Him with what we want. We have explained to Him what we believe we can handle. We have told Him why we need this to be changed. We have explained to Him the sorrow and the fear of our hearts. We've told Him all these things. And then we look up and we see Him. And we see Him in His power and in His glory. And all those things we have told Him, not that they're not important, they're all important. But when I look up into His face, says the glorious God, I confess that I am short-sighted, that what I am asking for is very temporary, and that I am seeking joys that are very short-lived. But when God works in and through all things in my life for His glory, He's not working for short-term, earthly. He's not giving me a crystal set made in China, disposable. But He's giving to me through these things eternal treasures to be found at His right hand. And we say, hallowed be thy name. Father, have thy own way. I'm a little child before the throne of my Father. Have thine own way. And then we remember when we are called first to the glory of God in our life, first His glory, then we remember in this petition what the symbol of Christianity is, the symbol that expresses the glory of God. And have we forgotten what the symbol of Christianity is? The symbol of Christianity is not a lazy boy, a recliner. It's not a lawn chair. It's a cross. The symbol of our faith is a cross. If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up His cross. And it was the cross of Jesus which has brought glory to our Father's name. And so, as with the elder brother Christ Jesus, who goes before us, we bring glory to His name by taking up your cross and follow Him. And then this petition will be seen. We will want to be holy. We will want God now to begin to order and to direct our thinking, our lives, our thoughts, our words, our actions, says the Catechism, that His name is not blasphemed on my account, but rather honored and praised on my account. Glorify thyself in me. I want to be a holy person. That will mean when we pray this, that will mean that that DVD goes into the trash and that station that I'm listening to for music is turned off and all of that time in front of the television is no more and perhaps those friends are no more and the use of money for that is no more. That's over. And those foul words don't come out of my mouth anymore. And this attitude of self-pity or of selfishness or of anger or of being quick to blame others or of being sullen, those things go out of my life. I want those things exterminated from my life. And all the species of my pride, my lust, my arrogance, my besetting sin, I want that to go out of my life. And I want to be a vessel. I want to be left only for a vessel to be filled with Him and with Jesus Christ. I want to live my life as a repenting sinner. And then it will be seen in that I have a fear. I have a dread that God would ever be blasphemed on my account. I don't want Him. I don't want Him to be trampled on by what other people see in me, my inconsistencies. I don't want God's name blasphemed by me. I confess His name. I want Him to be glorified before men. I want others to see. I want them to see something of Him and His Son in me. That means that you and I must not accommodate the world. The world which despises His name. We cannot please that world. We pray for that world. We show them all kindness, but we do not try to please them. We do not try that they respect us. But we desire that God will be glorified in our thinking, our willing, our actions, our words. This first petition is not child's play. This is profound. This will cost. This will bring painful choices into your life. Hallowed be thy name. That will bring a cost. But all the joy of having God in all that He is as our God. And so we pray, Lord, I have come before Thee in prayer that my heart might be brought to the height of knowing Thee and Thy glory in Christ. I want to know that. I want to know that more than anything else. For there is more joy and peace and strength in knowing God and in hallowing His name. There's more there, beloved, than what we have even dreamed possible. Amen. Father, bless the Word to our hearts. Take away all that was said amiss and in sin, and grant us to pray, Father in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Amen.